Hi, everybody. Welcome to the K Lounge. I am your host, Marshall. My partner in crime, Samuel Koo, is unfortunately not here today, but he will be back with us for our next podcast. We have a very special guest today. She is a musician, a singer, a songwriter, a sometimes dancer. Her name is Chai, also known as Isu Jung. Welcome to the K Lounge, my dear.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I would just like to say this is a very beautiful setup with a very beautiful host. Oh, aren't we lucky?
You shouldn't.
I won't.
Thanks to Bobby and the crew here. They definitely set this place up all nice and schnazzy. These are not my shoeboxes because I don't have nearly enough sportswear.
Well, not only that, but also I was going to say these boxes don't look like they would fit your shoes.
My giant boat feet. Yeah, I have really huge feet. You have really cute petite feet.
Oh, thank you.
And earlier today, you visited our shoe cam.
Yes, I did. I hit him with the...
Side note, is that like copyrighted? Are we allowed to say shoe cam?
It's ours now.
Yeah. Feet.
Just put a three.
Feet camera.
It's going to be sold on the black market. Oh, no.
But yeah, you're wearing these incredible shoes. I love these. They're like Chucks, but like repurposed with platforms and a schnazzy cool design that you guys can check out on our shoe camera on YouTube.
Excellent.
Yeah. Because right now it's all audio. So. Mm. Anyway, you look amazing. I haven't seen you in months,
Marshall.
Because you took a little trip to the stats.
I did.
Back to your little hometown of Chicago. And you were there for a few months. Tell me about that. How was your little trip back home?
It was.
And it's been a minute.
Yes.
How long has it been since you've been back?
I think it was about 2 years since I've been back.
Oh, wow.
So not that long compared to like other people who haven't been home in like
over 5 years.
But it's,
you know, a good amount.
It was long enough. It was really nice being back. Caught up with my friends, my family, hung out with my grandma.
Oh, how is she doing?
She's doing great. Saw my dog. That was nice. She actually recognized me, which was surprising.
Does she usually know?
She's just so unloyal. She's something else.
Yeah.
So it was really nice. It was nice breathing in fresh air that, you know.
Is Chicago air fresh?
No, but, you know, no
micro
dust.
But you're in like the burbs.
Yeah, well, my mom's in the burbs.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was staying with her for the time being. And then driving was nice. I miss driving a lot.
You didn't drive at all?
I don't drive here.
At all?
I can't.
Do you have a driver's license?
Not in Korea, but even if I did.
You can switch.
Yeah, but I don't want to.
Oh, I see. So this is on purpose.
Yeah, it's scary driving here. All the, you know, and they're just wing, and then the pedal.
I am not that scared.
Pedal boys are out here just swinging in
delivery,
and out.
Yeah. Delivery folk. I mean, you know, they're all just trying to make a living.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it because then my food gets to me quick.
Dude,
you know?
The delivery in Korea is
next
insane.
Level.
It
next
is insane. Level. Nothing beats delivery in Korea. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't really had delivery in the States in a while. So maybe things have gotten better due to COVID being.
No.
Oh, so you. Yeah. Okay, you already tried.
Yeah. It took like an hour and a half.
Oh, my.
Food was everywhere.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
So not the business. Chicago. If you had a driver's license, you could always like drive to the coast. There's literally no cars on the. I just came from a shoot a few days ago, and we went to the east coast of Korea, and it was like no cars.
I bet it was scenic too, huh?
It was my first time there. Sokcho.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever been?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was my first time. It was. Only because of the artist that I was featured on that I was able to go. But it was beautiful.
I think the only reason why I would like swap my licenses is if I wanted to go to like Jeju. Because like in Jeju, you kind of need a car, you know, unless you're going to like cab it everywhere.
Mm.
But you know, we ain't pockets not that
up.
Deep. Yeah. So that's the only reason why I would probably switch over my license. But
Not anytime soon.
Yeah. Nah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had your fill of like Chicago food. Are you like a huge deep dish person?
Surprisingly, so I had it when I got back because my family from Detroit came through.
Yeah.
We had this big like birthday party for my grandma. She just hit 90. And then there was deep dish there. Mm. And for some reason, I like gravitated strongly towards the deep dish. And I had like two pieces. And like, mind you, they're quite filling.
They're huge.
Yeah. And I just like scarfed it down and it was wonderful. But
oh, wow.
I will say, I think maybe it's because I haven't had it in a while.
Yeah.
But I will say like a true Chicagoan's not going to be like, oh, I want some deep dish, you know?
Okay, that's good to know.
It's something that we kind of just show the folks that are visiting, yeah.
Because I don't like deep dish.
Well, that hurts my soul a little.
No, it doesn't.
You don't like cheese?
I love pizza. I just don't like deep dish.
Okay.
It's not pizza. It's
yeah, it's not like a
pie.
Grab with your mouth or your hands type of, yeah.
It's like a very, like, it's like a marinara cheese pie.
Yeah.
Is what I.
But that cheese pull.
Yeah. It's just like the cheese to bread and to the marinara ratio is. Anyway, no one cares. Cool. moving on. Let's pivot. I mean, you are a full-time musician. That is.
Yes.
You are an artist, a full-time musician, and you've been doing it, I want to say, officially as Chai since maybe like 2015, would you say?
I would say, so I started music like my freshman year of college, and I didn't get the name until maybe like my sophomore year. So that, I don't even know.
And
what that
why Chai?
Okay.
Because your real name is?
Crystal.
Crystal.
Crystal Yee, not Lee. Yeah.
Crystal Yee with a Y-I.
Yeah, Crystal Yee. So I chose the name Chai because when I first started getting into like wanting to be an artist is when SZA first came out.
Oh, she's
and
the goddess.
That woman, that entity is just so amazing. So anyways, I was like, SZA, like that just like rolls off the tongue and it's so short, sweet, simple, but memorable. And I was like, if I were to create a stage name, I kind of want something that gives off that same presence. And so I don't drink coffee and I went to Starbucks one time and I went to this one cafe and I had a chai latte and looked it up. I was like, this is amazing. I looked up what chai meant. Obviously means tea. But then in Hebrew, it means life. And I was like, oh, well, music is my life. So I was like, nah, whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just went with that short, sweet, simple chai.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love that. Yes. Are we allowed to say Starbucks, by the way? I think we can.
Yeah,
we can say all the brand names.
Oh, okay.
It's not like radio where we're have to censor ourselves.
Like my butthole just clenched. I was like, oh, shit.
We love that. We love a clenched butthole. It's great. Okay, so chai means life. I did not know that. Mm-hmm. This may be controversial, but there is a band, an all-female band, with the same exact name and the same way you guys spell it, which is in all caps.
Yes.
Were they before you or after you?
I didn't do enough research, but they're definitely bigger than I am. So I run into a few problems. Like, we already ran into a problem one time. Setting up the stuff. But I really like their music.
I do,
they're
too.
Really, really great. The only time it kind of like stings my soul a little bit is like, so for like Pitchfork Festival, there was one year they were in Chicago.
Yeah.
Literally all my friends screenshotted it, sent it to me. They're like, no way, you're coming.
Oh,
you're going to perform
no.
at Pitchfork. And I was just like single tear. I was like, no, that's not me.
As next, you shrivel up.
No, that's not me. Like literally 30 messages in a row. I just like copied pasted it at that point. I was like, no, it's not me. It's not me.
Oh.
But someday, you know, it's good motivation. And I actually, as ridiculous as this might sound, I really want to like have a chai concert where I invite like all the different chives. Chai artists.
There's a good handful.
I feel like most of them will a lot of the chai artists will probably also be from like India or like Indonesia.
Yeah.
But that'd be cool to like have different like world artists.
You what know? If you just had like a Chai album, Chai by Chai?
And it's all like
Chai and Chai and Chai and Chai and Chai.
That would, I think people would get, you know what, how would we even distribute the royalties? That would be so confusing.
You would have to like poogie that. Yeah. You'd have to let that go somehow. I mean, you guys could, and someone, whoever the staff person is for that,
I mean,
would,
I would feel bad for that person. Yeah, who has
it would
to
be
that.
A mess, but you know.
But yeah, Chai, they're great. I actually had a recent run-in where I won't name the.
Please do name. No, the names. Name so all the names.
It's this one collective, and they represent the Asian American community. Asian American community, okay. Uh-huh. And so I got tagged in something on Instagram, and it said, "Oh, Chai nominated for an award, like a, I think it was new, like new artist of the year or something okay. like that, or emerging artist or something." So then I got tagged in it, and I was like, my first initial thing was like, "No, it's not me." And then I was like, "No, but Asian American," and I was that has to be me. And like, they tagged me. They would have seen my stuff and known that it, you know. And so I was like, okay. And so they did a live stream to see, or like on Twitch to like announce the winner. So I tuned in. Guess whose picture came up? The Chai band, the Japanese band. I sat through that whole stream and I was just like,
oh no.
Yeah. So, I mean,
so it was the band that they were yeah. and not.
So then I messaged them separately and I was like, "Hey, I just want you guys to credit like the actual artist who you're trying to promote, you know?" And I was
they
like,
"They respond?"
No. They saw it, but they didn't respond.
Yeah, cuz they're probably major embarrassed.
And I was just like,
"It's really not easy to it's really not hard to like check the Instagram handle."
Yeah.
I don't understand. And I get tagged for the Marshall speaker brand all the time. And I'm just like, untag. Untag.
Oh, no.
Untag. Yeah. Oh. Whatever.
Well, yeah.
Hopefully I'll get sponsored by Marshall at one
that
point.
That would be a dope
That would
collab.
Be sick. Yeah.
Marshall by Marshall.
Marshall by Marshall. Mm. Marshall, designed by Marshall. The collaboration coming to you soon.
Marshall.
Putting it out into the universe.
Yep. Just put it out there.
Well, yeah. I'm glad that you are here.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you're making music. So you said you started out in 2015 in college. Was it like via YouTube? Was it like with friends of yours? Mm. Like, how did you get into the music industry?
So like most of us Korean American folk, started in the church.
Oh, the church.
I was on praise team with my brother. My brother played guitar and he sang too. And he like back in those days, he was like legit Korean John Mayer. Like I guarantee you.
Oh gosh, so many of
those. But if you're listening, legit, like if he had kept doing music, he could have been like amazing. But he stopped.
Why?
I don't know, life started playing games and went to the army. But anyways, enough about
the
him.
U.S. Army?
Yeah.
Oh,
he
wow.
went to the reserves. So.
Oh.
But yeah, so I started in church and then I didn't really take singing seriously because I was just like, you know, and then I think it was my last year of high school. My friend convinced me to just randomly join choir. And I was like, whatever, I need like another
like one
elective.
Of these like bah, bah, bah. Mm-hmm.
So like in the gowns, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I did
not
it.
Not like the Glee.
Yeah,
like.
No hand motions. Okay. Yeah. But I didn't really like it. And so I just kind of stopped. And then I got to college and then I made a friend who owned his own studio. Mm. So then I started doing and then in high school I was doing like YouTube covers with my brother. But that was about it. And then got to college. I was like, oh, I want to record at a studio. So then I started recording my covers at the studio. And then I got a taste of what it felt like to be like a recording artist.
A
mic. Oh. So it was really nice. And then I offered my voice, like I bartered with my voice. And I was like, if you give me free studio time, I'll sing on your rapper's hooks. Mm. So pretty much they would be paying for my studio time.
Yeah.
And so my friend was like, okay. And so I did that for a while. And then I was like, you know what? I'm sick of this doing covers. I want to make my own music. Yes. So then I made one song and
what was it called?
Thirst Trap.
Yes.
But it has
that no, was the one in 2015.
But it has no chorus. It's just no, it has absolutely no chorus and it's just straight just singing the whole time.
Oh,
and it's
chorus
so,
meaning like background vocals.
No, like a hook. It has no hook. Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know who I thought I was, right?
I was literally listening to it on my way over here. There's no hook?
There's no hook.
Apparently I wasn't paying attention.
But yeah, so I was like, wow, okay. And so that was the first song. And then I met other artists. I went to a new studio and it was just really cool. Got to meet a lot of cool artists, did collabs, started kind of beefing up my profile or like my experience. And then made another really cool song with my friends in Chicago called Color You. Mm. And that was the most organic process and the most beautiful process. We hadn't even planned on making music that day. We were just like hanging out, you know, and then all of a sudden one of them like started playing something. It was literally like a movie. It was literally like a movie.
How about this key?
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, play it, Alicia.
I'm feeling this. What about this smell? Yeah. And so it was like really nice. And then we made dinner and drank some wine and then finished the song. And it was just like the most wonderful experience. And my feeble mind, I was like, every time I make music, it's going to be like this now. Yeah.
If only that was the case.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful, huh? But yeah, so that's how I started my musical journey. And then, yep.
Yeah. Yes. And then, you know, your favorite part.
The rest is history.
Yes. Then at one point, somebody hit you up to be on this little itty bitty TV show called K-Pop Star. And you somehow made your way over to Seoul and then went on national TV and went through all the hoops and challenges and ended up winning the show. Season five of K-Popster, you were the winner.
I am.
And you did not go by Chai at the time. You went by your Korean name, Lee Soo-jung. Tell me about that.
How does that make you feel?
Yeah, how does that make you feel?
So I actually registered with my English name, Crystal. And then somehow it just...
You were convinced to use your Korean name.
And then, and then that just happened. And then my Korean name was what I went by. And then, and it's really funny because I don't know how it started, but like people, they thought, well, I mean, I understand. Like E is Lee.
Yeah.
But not really Yi.
Yeah.
Spelling
wise,
So when people were like making a wiki page or like, you know, putting in my information, they would say Lee Soo-jung.
Yeah.
And I was like, who's that?
Yeah.
And but anyways.
Yes.
Yeah. So had the gracious opportunity to be on the show.
Did you decide, did you like go for it yourself or did someone contact you?
I got contacted. Okay. And then I honestly didn't think I was going to make it. And so I went and I was like, you know what? Free open round trip ticket to Korea if I go, you know? If I make it past the Chicago auditions. And I was like, you know, what do I have to lose? So I just did it. And then actually when I found out that I made it to Korea, that was the first week that school was starting. My last year of college, my last year in my thesis program. And
what was your major?
I was a BFA, Bachelor's of Fine Arts.
For what?
I had a focus in sculpting and then a minor in film photography.
Sculpting.
So I'm pretty good with the...
Your hands?
My hands. Mi manos. Yeah, but I dropped out the first week that school started just because I was like, you know what? School's always going to be here, but this opportunity isn't. So I took it and I ran with it and I ran.
Yeah, you ran hard. You ran real hard.
Oh, I ran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was probably the most difficult, because that was your first time on TV, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
What was the most difficult, challenging part of being in that whole experience?
Well, I mean, so it wasn't my first time in Korea, but it was my first time staying there, not only as like a little bit more formed adult, but like I was established as a person. Like I knew who I was, my identity, you know. And so I think the biggest thing for me was the culture shock. Mm. And and how different it was in terms of like ideologies and expectations, being a woman, being a Korean American woman, you know. It was, it definitely had a lot of, you know, hoops and ropes that I had to jump through, but all a learning experience. And I think because of that, I actually appreciate the Korean culture more, because I understand why there is a difference, you know, especially after being here for 5 years now.
Yeah.
But I think that was probably the biggest, the hardest part.
Yeah.
And then crying on national TV and not being able to erase that from Google, but whatever. Who cares?
Did you cry a lot?
Yo, I ugly cried.
Yeah.
Like
a Kardashian ugly cry?
Yeah.
Like a Kim Kardashian?
Yeah. And you know when you're, like, you're a little kid and then, like, your mama's, like, honneing you? Like, yeah. you're, like, getting in trouble and then you're, like, she's, like, don't cry. Like, don't, you know? And so you're, like, I'm not crying. I did one of those. It was disgusting. I couldn't even finish the song. It was so
horrible. What song were you singing?
G.O.D. 거짓말. Yeah.
Shall we look
No, what are you doing? No, please, sir.
And
please,
we have that video queued
no.
up. We have that video queued up for you. How was your language how was your Korean proficiency?
Oh, so bad. I had a translator.
Same.
Right by my side. Like, yeah, I was like, same. Don't leave me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, shout out to them, though.
Yeah, they did a good job. At what point did you take lessons at all, or...
So I, growing up, I only spoke Korean to my grandparents, and I, not that they have like a strong saturi or anything, like a dialect difference or country twang, but there
Just
are some
Korean.
Words. Yeah. There are some words that are not up to date that I know. So I actually, when I moved here, that's when I started taking Korean lessons. Mm. So I like learned like 제대로. What's that word? How do you say that in English? Properly. Yeah. Lord. But yeah, I learned properly, and it was just like a slap to the face, because I was like, what? I'm like, that's what I'm trying to say. And they're like, that's not that word. Like, you need to use this word. And I'm like, why? And I learned so much, because there's like different ways and different like honorifics and stuff like that. And it's frustrating, because like for one meaning, there's like 12 different words. And yeah, so I learned a lot. I think it got a lot better, especially living here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have relatives or anyone family-wise that
on my mom's side, she has an older brother and a cousin that lives in Cheongju. Mm. So I would go there like every once in a while for like New Year's and stuff.
Yeah.
But now because of COVID, it's kind of...
Well, yeah, we're not going nowhere.
Don't
we're just at
risk
home.
It all.
Yeah. How was... your family in terms of like when you went on this whole journey coming to Korea? Because my parents every year they'll be like, so how do you like Korea? Mm. And just to gauge my reaction, because thus far it's always been like, it's okay, like meaning aka like if I were to be like, oh my god, I hate it, you know, like then they'll be like, come home, because they want me to come home, because I haven't been home in like 7 years. But yeah, so, yeah. Are they, like, super supportive? Are they, like, why are you still there? Come back to Chicago and be with us forever? Like, what's the dealio?
I mean, you know, big ups to my mom. But it was a hard journey trying to kind of prove to her that I can do this. And when I was doing music in, like, Chicago... you know, just constantly being told, like, do it as a hobby. You can do it when you're rich. You could do it when you're married to a doctor. You know, like, whatever. Oh. Yeah. Hi, Mom.
We love
so,
that.
Yeah. So I think constantly hearing that, I kind of had it drilled into me. But then during college, someone that I, like, really respected and loved told me, like, you're actually really good at this. Like, keep going. And I was like, you know what? I could do it. And so then I told my mom, like, hey, I'm just going to try it out. And then K-pop started happening.
Yeah.
And throughout that whole journey, she kind of like, you know, just to protect me, she would tell me like, you know, just don't get your hopes up, you know, like, you know. And so I think she was just as shocked as I was when I made it to the top. Like, she was like, what the hell?
She was
like, wait a minute.
My daughter.
So, And you can see like, okay, because they do like the last three shows are live.
Yeah.
And so my whole family came over from Chicago and they came over to like see the show.
Yeah.
And it's so live funny.
Live and in person.
It's so funny because when you watch those clips and you know they have like the fam cam and they like zoom up on your mom's face, you know? Yeah. My mom legit, she doesn't look excited, happy. She looks worried. She's like,
my daughter's gonna fail on national TV.
Not even that. She's probably like, oh my God, what if she actually wins?
Oh.
Yeah, I feel like my mom was like, then she's gonna have to do music. And then, and then that safety net that she was hoping for would be gone, you know? But my mom now, fast forward, my mom now is very supportive. She's very understanding and like always tells me, you know, nothing in life comes easy, but just keep doing it. And you're in a very lucky position to be doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, both me and my brother, like we don't fit into the mold of like standard architect, lawyer, doctor, you know.
Whatever. I didn't know architect was in that list.
If you're successful. But yeah, so my mom did a really good job in terms of opening up her mind and communicating with me. So I love you, mama.
Shout out to all of our moms out there who are supportive of their children doing living alternative lifestyles. Okay, well, let's talk about music. Okay. What's next for you? What's next on the radar? I know you just released a song with one of our favorite musicians, Paul Kite. Mm-hmm. You did a song called Time's Up that came out a few months ago, I want to say. Definitely one of my favorites that you've put out thus far. Your voice sounds divine. Mm. And the music production is fire on it. So what's next for you? Well, first of all, before we get into what's upcoming for you project-wise, what is your music process like? Mm. How do you create? What are you inspired by?
I'm so glad you asked me what instead of who. Because it's like...
I have like... a full like note saved on my phone. Mm-hmm. Like, well, I literally list random artists. Mm. Like, because I have such a long list of inspirations.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, oh, I'll be Britney Spears today. And then like, it'll be like Marvin Gaye the next. And then like Patti LaBelle. And then it'll be like Dolly Parton. And they're all from like different corners of the music sphere. But I listen to so many different kinds of music. It's like...
And it's ever changing. And I think we need to be as fluid as the times. But yeah.
So what?
I think, ironically, I think time inspires me and time just... and how time can be up. Damn, Marshall.
Time. Yeah. What do you mean by that? Can we unpack that?
Okay. Well,
do you mind expanding?
So, like,
time's up. Time.
No, I think time getting, you know, expiring really. And no.
Yeah. As we're all expiring. Hurtling toward.
Yeah. Expiration date. Oh, no.
So morbid, but so 2021.
Well, when it comes to time, you know, like comparing how you were back then, being in the position where you are now, reflecting, but also looking forward to who you're going to become or where you're going to be, I think that always influences me a lot. And it's what I primarily use as motivation to like, not only as a musician, just to better myself as a person, I feel like. Because if you're not learning and you're not moving forward, what are you doing? You know? So I think for me, when I put out a song, I'm always trying to one-up myself. And thankfully, I have had a very crazy, in-depth experience to my music career. Like it kickstarted with Antenna, and I was able to take a lot away from that experience and learn a lot. And I think
Antenna Music.
Yes, Antenna Music.
The label.
Yes, shout out to Antenna Music.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think for me, that is what really kind of lit a fire under my butt to do better, to be better, and to, you know, be amazing, like reach my potential and more.
Yeah.
Shout out to my haters. but yeah, and then so yeah, with Time's Up, it was kind of like a little timer for myself, like a little what's that called? Ultimatum. Mm. It's kind of like, you know what? You need to know your worth and don't wait around, and only you can help you. So when time is up, don't make excuses and just move on with your life.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make a song that was vague enough to cover all aspects on the table.
You know? So all bases. Yeah.
So it wasn't, I think lyrically it sounds like a relationship, but it does cover all bases. Mm. It applies to everything. Yeah. And everyone. Yep.
Love it. So I, you know, heard through the grapevine that you're now at a new label.
I am indeed.
A new company. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How's that looking like for you?
The future is bright, Marshall. Yeah. The future is bright. Yeah, I'm really excited. This new label is an entertainment agency. So they have actors, athletes, rappers, singers, and a musical actress as well. Ooh. And so it's really cool being in like a diverse group. I think with Antenna, there was just a big pressure to be like a phenomenal artist because all their artists are just like musically amazing. You know, they're not only they sound great, they're also very intellectual beings. And so being around that constantly, I was kind of like a little on my toes, but not saying that that's not the same case for this new label, but I think being in a surrounding or an environment where it's like all walks of life, it's refreshing for sure. And so I'm just motivated to do my thing. They're very supportive of me as a person. Mm. And so that is only going to just, you know, produce amazing music as a result of them being so supportive of who I am.
What a concept.
Yeah, it's great. And I'm really excited to see what the future has in store.
Yay.
Yes.
What's next for you on the horizon? Future projects, singles, albums, what have you?
So I'm currently working on a couple of songs. And I think just because I haven't really put out a lot of music like consistently, I think my short-term goal is to just constantly put music out just to reintroduce myself and have the fans like refamiliarize themselves with me. And unfortunately, I don't feel like we can do concerts or anything in the, you know,
not yet
in the short term. But I really want to, even if it's like a virtual concert, you know.
I mean, I did see your neighbor on stage, and I think that was your first live performance in a long time. I think in years, probably. Mm-hmm. I first of all loved what you were wearing.
Thank you.
And I think it's the first time I've seen you, like, kind of move.
Throw them shoulders
Yeah,
back.
A little bit of choreography, some stage movement.
I'm not the best, but I did my best.
Yeah.
I think it's just, like, I asked one of my friends who's a dancer to, like, give me, like, pointers. And he was like, do it bigger than you think because you're actually doing it, like, really small. I was like, what are you talking about? I'm out here like, you know, throwing my shoulders back in like a whole circumference. But in the video, I'm literally just like, it's very slight. And I was like, dang it. So
it's very true. Experience. Yeah. Yeah. Because you think because you're not used to it and you've done it for, you know, you haven't really danced for so long in front of people.
Never.
So it's like one little movement seems like you're flailing your arms about. Mm-hmm. But
and it was even harder because I was actually singing live. And so it's
look
like,
at that. And people do that?
It's so hard.
People sing live?
Bro, I was like, ab control, like air control. And it was just
and stamina.
And then like there was this one part where I like went down and I was like, don't rip your pants. don't like choke on air. Like it was really, like honestly, for the artists that do sing live and dance live, like, you guys are ridiculous. Props to you. Beyonce, get out of here. Yeah. You're not human.
I mean, she's been doing it since she was like 12.
That's true.
Apparently, her father made her and like the other members of Destiny's Child like run like a mile or so while singing the song.
Damn, at the top of their lungs
to build up their stamina. You want to start next week?
I'll run to your house while singing one of your songs, and then you can run me back home singing one of my songs.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Color, 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 color you.
No, I have to make a hard song now.
You need to, you didn't know.
to make you belt. I'm going to have to make you belt.
Look, I have so many dance songs and so many simple songs.
Yeah, but whenever I saw you perform multiple times, and you are not only killing it, you are not out of breath. Like, it's so frustrating.
I just hold my breath until afterwards, and then I pass out in the waiting room, in the green room. No, I die.
You're amazing.
No, you're amazing.
And then you get on top of like the DJ booth, and you're out here, and you're just
with
like
my heels.
Yeah, yeah. That was another thing for the on stage. I was in heels, and I was like,
"Are you not normally in heels for performances?"
I am, but I'm not dancing. I'm not like moving around. You
you're
know?
Just like
I'm
just like balance. Still, yeah.
So I don't know how you do it. I mean, those legs, great legs.
Thanks.
That's shout out to your legs.
Thanks. Shout out to my leg. Thank you, Mama, for birthing me. I love that. I hope there are more live performances. And
yes.
I also wanted to point out to people, to the listeners out there, the three people that are out there listening to this podcast. You were actually the person that recommended me the psychiatrist.
Oh, yes.
Here in Seoul.
Yes.
And when I was going through my whole like herniated disc issue and having a mental breakdown, you were actually, you and my friend Charlotte were the two people that like were there for me and helped me through this journey. Mm. And I just wanted to say publicly, thank you
for being there.
And, ooh, you're going to make me cry.
Don't do it.
oh, wow. But, yeah, it was, it really helped me in more ways than you can imagine. And, I just wanted to thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for existing. Like you don't really understand how blessed this world is to have you.
Oh, my
like genuinely,
gosh.
Truly, honestly.
That's so sweet.
And if you haven't met Marshall yet, you're missing out.
Oh God. Oh, I'm surprisingly not sweating during this point. Mm. I'm sweating on the underneath of my knee, but you know.
That's the worst.
That's because I'm also crossing my legs and all that sweat is just trapped in the back of my knee. TMI for y'all. well, so you and I are both like excited to see the world open up again. If you were to travel or tour, where are like the top three destinations you would love to go to?
Okay, so I'm saving Chicago for when I have like a full-fledged album.
Yeah.
And
when's that coming? Do you have an idea of like, are you working on it now? Or?
So for me, like, not even because I don't believe in myself or anything, but I have a lot of learning and growing to do as an artist. I want to be able to like self-produce. I want to be able to like, you know, do what, pretty much do what you do, like mix my own stuff. Oh my gosh, you're crazy. Ooh. And so I would like want to be able to be a substantial artist and then make an album and just like pour my heart and soul into it, you know?
Right.
I have yet to do that. I mean, I pour my heart and soul into my music, but not a whole album. And so I want to be able to be very, I don't know about you, but for me, like the songs that I've released, I love them, but there's always like something I'm like, I could have done that better. Or like, you know, new melodies or something. And so I've never been 100% satisfied with any of my songs thus far. And so I told myself, I was like, if I ever am, that's when I know that I have made it as an artist and like a successful, like that's what a successful artist is to me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, what about you?
Honestly, like, I don't know if I'll ever be 110% satisfied because I feel like I'm my own worst enemy and I always am super hard on myself. Mm-hmm. So I think similar to in the fact that I am proud of everything that I've put out and I'm like 95.899999%. like happy about all of my songs. I think a lot of my bits are kind of like the mixing portions, like it was always like the timing was very like rushed, and it was like, you have to release it on this date or it's going to be delayed mm-hmm. another like mm-hmm. 6 months. And I was like, oh no. And so I would scramble around to find like a mixing engineer to mix my song yeah. in like 3 days. And so there are like times like that where it's like, oh, if I only had like the right mm-hmm. amount of time. And mm-hmm. which is why like me working on my first album currently is taking so long, because also I went through a mental breakdown earlier this year. But I'm just trying to focus on not rushing mm. and making sure everything is like rosy as mm-hmm. rain.
I don't know the term.
Right as rain. What's the rosy thing?
Chocolate rain. I don't know.
That's what I'm doing right now.
And that's another thing. I'm not even trying to like beef you up or like size you up or anything, but I don't understand, just adding on to your amazing resume, I don't understand like how you are able to successfully, well, you make it seem easy. I know it's not, but you are an independent artist. Like, you are out here doing this on your own. Like, you don't have a team. Like, you are your own team. So I think I have more respect for you and more love for your music and you as a person, because it's like, so you having that breakdown
was a long time coming.
Like, what? Like, what? Like, you can't even be like, where did that come from? It's like, you're like, and now, you know? So I don't want to say I'm glad that it happened, but I think it needed to. And yeah. I think it's nice to have just that clarity. I don't know if you feel clarity, but yeah. just being able to like be like, okay, well, let me open this package up. And then it's just like, wah, you know?
Yeah. But I feel like a lot more like I have a better sense of purpose mm. of like what I have to do and the things I need to do. And also that time is not forever. Mm. It's like time is finite.
Time, you say.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Time's up, you say.
Time's up. Bye, Chai. Go check it out. Being, you know, unable to do anything for like 6 to 8 months, physically, you know, just like laid out, unable to sleep, unable to move, it just in constant pain, and then that affecting your mental health, mm-hmm. like I just felt a little sliver of what like people with debilitating, like, you know, pain, you know, feel. And I was like, oh gosh, I can never, like, my health as mm-hmm. well. Like, I wanted to work out more and really take care of my body, because it really does affect everything you do. Like, that was just my lower back. Mm. So, I don't take my health for granted anymore like I used to.
Health is actually wealth.
Health is wealth. So with that being said, how is your mental health?
Well, I think I had a moment of clarity when I went back home, being, you know, surrounded by grass and trees. And just being, because my mom's house is
in the woods.
It's not in the goddamn woods. It's been there since I was born. Like, I've been in that house. And so it was really weird seeing not only how old my parents got, but also how old the house got. I was like, Jesus Christ. And so it was just a moment of like, you know, and then I looked in the mirror and I'm like, you're old too. Like, gee. So it's just, I think my
time's up. Time's
sponsored
up.
Sponsored by Time's Up. But yeah.
The new soda line from Chai.
Get yours now. Yeah. So I think for me, my mental health, I got a burst of energy. Yeah. I think I was slowly depleting, especially with like COVID and how it affects everyone. I'm a social introvert. So it's like, obviously with our line of work, we have to be social. But on the inside, I'm like screaming and I'm like, I want to be in my bed, you know. And so I like
Chipsuni.
Chipsuni.
Yeah. Chipsuni.
So I think like on one end, my thirst and craving for being alone was satisfied during this whole pandemic. But then at the same time, my extrovert side was like, we need to leave the house now. But, you know, obviously we have to be safe. So I think I've been struggling a lot with kind of finding that balance now of like, how much time do I need by myself? Because I've had too much time by myself, you know? And then whenever I do like schedule something or meet up with someone for like a lunch or something, it's like always a little bit overwhelming. Like I get a little bit of like, I get a little anxious meeting up with them, and then I meet them and it's great time. And then I get back home and I'm like, oh, I'm exhausted. Yeah. So it's like trying right now, I think I'm trying to just find that balance of like what works and how much, you know, how much time I need to give myself. Time's up. Bye, Chai.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. I agree with you. I feel like being in Korea has made me more of an introvert. Mm. Whereas before, like, especially throughout college, I was like, in university, I was like, absolutely just like going out, seeing people, blah, 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 the, you know, whatever. And now, more and more, as I stay longer in Korea, I tend to find that I don't really want to meet new people. Like I'm in the no new friends club. And because I feel like I've made my community already, and I don't have the capacity, the additional capacity or brain power or heart to add more people because it's already filled to the brim. And you know, you can't really go deep with everybody. Like if you spread yourself too thin throughout your friendships, then none of them really are other than like, you know, it's just surface relationships. And so, and that's something that I learned over the years being in relationships and in, you know, friendships and things like that, like where you just can't be friends with everybody. You can't go deep with everybody. That's like literally impossible. And so, yeah, it's like if it's not like a friend of a friend, like I really don't have any interest.
Yeah, I think you need to really save yourself. I was like, Akyo, what's that word? I think you need to really save yourself for you, because I feel like especially the type of person that you are, like you are very willing to help people so much. Like that's like I remember when we first met too, right off the bat, like it was a social interaction of like, how can I help you? Like, well, who are you? Like, what do you want to do? Like it was very not self-serving. It was serve in my favor. Like you
selfless.
Were just, yeah, like English. Yeah, like you were trying to help me out, like in the first day that we met. And I just remember being like, who is this person? And then just it, yeah. So I'm glad though that you're in a place where you can say that and you know that that's what you need to do, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and I think the best way to do that is to not meet people or go out.
Yeah.
So I have as well become a part-time chiptori, which is I like staying at home as well, and which is better for all of us as it is now COVID. So
I agree.
I feel like I've done so many video calls. I have never done this many video calls in my entire life. Just so many video calls, video meetings, video everything. So,
but that is, I feel like that's equally as draining.
It could be.
Yeah.
But it's better than like, you know, you could just dress up from the waist up.
I don't know about you, but when like as soon as I'm done with like a meeting, like a video call, like I'm like smiling the whole time and I'm just like I don't know where my smile goes. It just goes away and I'm just like, oh my goodness, you know?
No, it takes work to smile if you're not. If it's not unnatural.
Especially with these high cheekbones. My goodness. Carrying work, these honey. Cheekbones. There's so much work.
Look, I'm just so glad you're here. And I'm glad you're back in Korea.
Me too.
You and I did a song together months back in February. Mm-hmm. And it was a song called Deserve Better.
Yes.
And I'm so glad that you jumped on it.
Thanks for having me. It was honestly an honor. Like when Marshall reached out to me about doing this song, I was like, me? Why? I was like, why? Because, anyways, it was just an honor. And I was like really kind of nervous, to be honest. I don't think I've ever told this to you, but I was like really genuinely like, after I recorded, I listened back at least 80 times before I sent anything.
No.
I was like, and I did so many takes. I was like, it has to be perfect. But yeah. So, I genuinely love this song. Thank you.
Oh my God. You honestly made it 100 times better.
Don't even.
With your verse.
Don't even.
I mean.
No.
I sing your part more than I sing my part. It's so good. So thank you for jumping on that.
Thanks for having me.
You're an incredible vocalist, an incredible musician.
I will say, even including my songs, I think that's my favorite song. Like, including,
no way.
I mean, I don't, yeah. Anyways,
that is a lie.
No, legit.
Thank you for being on.
Legit. Like, I'm sorry, time's up, but you deserve better. Like, yeah, like, Deserve Better was one of my favorite songs.
And honestly, timing couldn't have been better because, of all the bullshit that, especially, you know, the Asian American community was facing during that time. Like, we didn't plan for that, but it happened to...
How could we have...
Yeah, of course not. Absolutely not. But it was just, it's crazy. Like, it really, just like the message of the song really just... connected so fiercely with what was going on at the time. Yeah. So thank you for hopping on.
Thanks for having me on it. But I think that's why it made it so much deeper and more meaningful is because not only because of what the Asian American community was going through, but just I think there were a lot of things in my life at the time that I was able to kind of release through that song. So thank you for that opportunity. Glorious Marshall.
It's my pleasure, my darling. Just really quickly before we go, I know you've, especially this past year and 2020, you've been very active on social media with various causes, and you are an activist. I definitely want to say that in terms of like BLM and, you know, all of the things that was going on. Not only in the States, but just worldwide. Mm-hmm. Where did you start in terms of like the activism aspect of your life? And how does that play into who you are today as an artist, et cetera, et cetera?
I think once I started, not that my platform is that big, but once I started getting a platform, I wanted to kind of use it to the fullest. And I personally don't consider myself an activist, but just doing the bare minimum of being able to repost information and like educate, like ways to educate yourself, and like because for me, I was able to educate myself through the links that I found on social media. And so I was like, if it's that easy for me to find it, then I should be like make it easier for other people to find it. Because I feel like if an opportunity is given to you to learn more and educate yourself on what is happening today, and you don't take that, you are actively agreeing not to learn and not to like open your mind. And so for me, using my platform was just a way for me to help those around me have a way to access that information. And so not only with just BLM, but like LGBTQ+, like that community also needs a lot of, you know, a lot of support, a lot of love. And I feel like there's so many helpful ways to go about doing that. And there were a lot of like GoFundMe pages. And I mean, obviously you have to be careful with those, but there were a lot of really helpful and like insightful resources. And so for me, the least that I can do is repost it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
I tend to find that there's just so much stuff out there. Mm-hmm. Like in terms of, there's just such a variety of news sources. Mm-hmm. Some of them are very unreliable and some of them are straight up fake news.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you glean through all of that mess to get to what is the truth? This is actually a question that I've had for a while, where my parents are getting these, like, so my mom, very like both of them are very conservative, very religious in the church. And so they kind of under the whole, like, where if a pastor that they trust says a certain thing, then they'll believe it verbatim. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you experienced this, but in the past, like, especially in, there's a lot of like trendy things. So like at one point in the past, like salt was like the big thing. And so my parents, like, everything was bamboo salt toothpaste, bamboo salt, like da 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 da. And then there was another era where it was like Procter and Gamble is the devil. And so no Procter and Gamble products. So no Crest, we can only use like Colgate. And like, it was this like whole thing. And there were these trends that were based on not truth. But my parents are still in that mindset and they get fake news about like COVID and like how there's like, you know, chips inside, microchips inside the vaccine, da da da. And my mom keeps sending the family cacao room these articles. And so and there aren't a lot of fact checking websites in Korean. So I just, as a frustrated son whose Korean has improved a lot over the past like decade, but still unable to debate with my parents about fake news, how do you muddle through that? Like, what is your, and have you had these issues with your parents at all?
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, you need to see who's writing it. Like, having,
I would like to know as well.
Having a credible source, I think, especially with like fake news or especially when it comes to protests and movements, you need to see who is leading it. That voice is very important. Like, for example, I know there were a lot of posts and stuff that were coming from people who were not Black. So it wasn't a Black person's voice being spoken. And so it's like, not that it, I don't want to say not that it discredits them or something, but it's like, it's not about your voice. It's not about you, you know? And so we need to make sure that we are checking who's writing or talking or, you know, creating a movement. I think that's first and foremost. And then second, it's like, when it comes to our parents, like, I always kind of joke about this with my mom and I'm like, Amma, you can't believe everything that everyone says.
And they say right back, you can't believe everything you say or read. Or
so one time I told my mom, I was like, Amma, I read an article from this one Korean scientist. He's Christian. And he said that if you drink cat's blood, you'll live like for a really long time. And she's like, 진짜? I was like, Amma, that's exactly my point. Like, you can't believe everything everyone says just because they're credible, you know? Or you heard from a friend
from a friend. So true.
So I think when it comes to parents, we just have to be, you know, they don't know. And it's like, I think because this day and age, especially with technology, it's just so over their heads and they don't really understand. Not that they're stupid, but it's just different.
Yeah.
Different time. And I think we just really need to kind of like hold their hand and be like, please stop.
Yeah.
And like, you know, just don't believe everything that everyone says. And that's the best that we can do. Cause like, I understand completely having to like try and like, my stepdad is very like, he hasn't been to Korea in a very long time. So he doesn't know what it's like here now.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, this and this and this. And I'm like, no, it's not like that anymore. But I can't explain that in Korean as well as I could in English. So I understand. I share that frustration with you.
Yeah.
But I think when it comes to that, it's just about, you know, sticking to your guns and like giving them fact checks and just like little, we can't explain the whole thing. Like, for example, my mom was, she was going to vote for Trump because she was like, he's Christian. And I was like, what a Christian. I'm like, what a Christian do this, you know? And so I just like showed her all the news that was happening with the families that were being detained at the border and the cages. And I was like, really?
Please tell me she believed it.
Oh yeah. She was like, oh my goodness.
My parents.
Like, no.
They voted for Trump.
Well, I mean, teach their own. I mean, he's, you know, he's not our president anymore. But yeah, it's really difficult with like things like that, especially because I feel like once our parents are like, yeah, that's right. They're like, yeah, that's right. They're very like
passionate,
full on.
Yeah.
So I don't have the answers to you.
Yeah.
For you.
You know what? I opened up a clubhouse, like a room about this. And I was like, my parents are reading fake news from Korea. These rando like YouTubers, and now their whole algorithm is based on that.
It's a rabbit hole.
And no one had any answers for me. So it's back to square one.
Oh, sorry.
But anyway, with that being said, Chai, thank you once again for being here with us at the K-Lounge.
Thank you for having me.
We are so excited for your new music. I am ecstatic and can't wait for all of the goodness that is about to come out of your career.
Yes.
In the upcoming months, in the rest of 2021 and next year. I'm looking forward to all your new stuff. Please come visit us again.
I will, yes. It was a very wonderful time being here. Always a pleasure, Marshall. Great time. Thanks for having me. And I also can't wait for what you have in store.
Yes, likewise. Yeah. All right, everybody. My name is Marshall, and this is the K-Lounge. Thank you guys once again for being here, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.